When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
With infinite complacence, people went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
I wound up getting married and to someone else. We wound up moving to that 109-year-old house, you know, outside Chattanooga. That place was weird. We'd been staying there for 6 months. It was my, at that point, wife's grandmother's place. It was a rental property, essentially, and we wound up moving into it because, as weird as it sounds, the apartment we had before that one wound up getting infested with bees on a level that was believed that we actually had a beekeeper show up out there to come get them, and he said the number was about 60,000 bees.
Oh my gosh.
That we woke up. Yeah, we woke up one morning and I'm laying there with my eyes open and there's just bees flying all over, right up above our faces and everything, and I'm poking her going, "Wake up."
I've never heard of something like that.
It was, I hadn't either till it happened. That doesn't really leave you any time in the morning to like go pee and then pick out what you want to wear. It was pretty much just like, oh, I gotta go. That caused a lot of problems with the landlord because of, you know, whatever. So we got out of there and moved into this other place. Everything was cool. We were kind of fixing it up when we first moved in. Any of the hardwood floor that had been there before had been like pulled up, and they had, you know, just put down like some subflooring, like plywood and everything. And we were getting carpet laid down. And so, yeah, we were going through that storage area. We found a box and started, you know, going through the crap that was in it and started finding these photos. They were photos of funerals. They were photos of funerals and our house. Nothing makes you feel great like finding that when you first moved into a new place. We, you know, called my wife's grandmother and we're like, "Hey, we just found these photos. What do you know about it?" And she's like, "Well, the house is like 109 years old, or at the time 108, whatever." But she's like, "Yeah, they, you know, there's been several funerals at that house." She's like, "I don't think it was all, you know, people that just lived there or anything, but I don't know if it had been like a little funeral home." I have no idea. I never really found out much more about that, but where in the photos, where the casket would be and everything is right in front of where the fireplace is. And you can you can tell that, I mean, it was the same mantelpiece and everything. I think I put this in an email that I sent to you, was that house is like literally, it's in a little town called South Pittsburgh. Ghost Adventures went there with Zach and everything, and they did a big thing about the haunted hospital out there. That house is like a block away from it. I don't know if that's connected or anything, but like literally you could walk out the front door and turn your head to the left and you can see the hospital. So I don't know.
Yeah. One of the things that you, when you were writing about that in your email that I have to mention, cause it made me chuckle, is that you said that Zach and his hair went to that hospital to investigate, and it just made me chuckle.
I'm glad it made you chuckle. I laughed when I typed it out. Nothing against Zach, but I mean, for real, his hair nearly deserves separate billing.
I think he probably has it insured, you know?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, we started having issues at that house, and some of them were some of the worst, aside from that one instance with my ex-girlfriend that we had. It's some of the worst stuff that I've ever had to deal with on a nightly basis. Like, where our bed was in our room, you could be laying where I would be sleeping in the bed and look out the bedroom door. We were laying in bed watching something ridiculous, I'm sure, and I noticed something move, and I still had, when we first moved into that place, I still had that black lab dog too, and she did not like it there at all, but she jumped and started growling, and that got both of, you know, obviously got our attention, and we looked, and there's what, I mean, it's what would look like, I hate this sound generic as hell, but like something that looked like a black robed figure kind of goes through the doorway, and all you can catch is like the back, you know, back end of it. And I was like, what the hell is that? She's like, my wife was like, I have no idea what the hell that was. And like, literally, we're both just sitting there, like, because, you know, nothing else in the house is moving. Like, you know, I'm wondering, like, do I need to go get a ball bat and cream somebody with it, or, you know, what? And then, you know, nothing happened. We got up and looked, and nothing going on in the house at all. And then another night, look out there, and there's this, it's obviously at that point, it wasn't a robed anything. It was just this sort of a black robed looking mass there with a little bit of a face that you could barely make out anything, just enough to know that it's staring at you from the other room. And she didn't like to talk about any of my experiences. She wasn't used to any of that. She didn't even like horror movies on any level, so she didn't want to hear about anything that, you know, I would be telling her. I was like, no, this isn't made up. I'm mean this, you know? She didn't want to know. Things just kind of kept escalating there. We started hearing stuff walk around our bed at night, like footsteps around our bed. And it would go from, you know, my side around the front of our bed to her side. Then and they would get louder. And eventually, whatever, it started getting in the bed. And that was, once again, just like, you know, I was telling you about that Christmas, that something of substantial weight. It would put so much weight in like a point of the bed where it would move both of us because the bed was being pushed down so hard.
Now, what's your wife doing at this point? Because you're maybe a little bit more used to this at this point in these stories, but pardon me, what about your wife? I mean, she's hearing footsteps, she's seeing this, you know, this thing, robe thing in the doorway, and now there's something in bed with you guys.
She wouldn't see it as much as I would. but when she was awake, when it made a guest appearance, I guess, she was so terrified she couldn't move. A lot of times, there were many, many nights where we passed out wrapped around, holding each other for dear life, And she still didn't want to talk about it. Because I guess, if you're having we had a little girl. She got pregnant and we had a little girl while we were living there. I would get up and go to work every morning. And I guess maybe some of the reasons she didn't want to talk about it is a lot of times she had to stay at home with our daughter by herself. I was definitely worried about it at a point. And I know she was several times. She very, very much kind of refused to really discuss it in depth. I could tell it really bothered her because when her and I would just discuss it, she would tear up. It obviously really bothered her.
So this will probably segue into the next thing on the list, which is the fact that your daughter also sees some things. But did your wife, does she feel like, not that you brought all of this into the house or anything, but, you already kind of mentioned that you feel like if there's something there, you're gonna see it, you're gonna feel it. So maybe they're kind of attracted to you. Between that and now your daughter seeing, I guess I'm kind of getting at is, how is your wife able to detach from now both of you guys kind of having this quote unquote gift?
Well, we're not together anymore. It's just been me and my daughter for about 6 years now.
So at the time, you guys split before your daughter was kind of old enough to be talking about stuff like that, basically.
As far as things with my daughter, we actually had gone up to the hospital because whoever owns that property now or whatever, they were storing some antiques and stuff there. And I don't know, we liked going and rummaging through old weird stuff and seeing if we could find anything cool, Plus, it was the haunted hospital, and I really just wanted to go see if that was, real or BS or whatever. Because apparently I don't get enough weirdness at home, right?
No, not at all, Brian.
We went up there and, just planning on popping in for, 5 minutes and seeing what was there and, taking turns holding the little girl. And we went, down the hall. And one of the people that was there was like, yeah, it's just these three rooms here or whatever. So we really didn't even go that far into the hospital. This time, my wife was carrying my daughter. We're in this room looking at stuff. It was weird, man. I don't know how to describe how I feel these things, but it's your spider sense goes off or whatever. And when somebody, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but when somebody's behind you and you don't know they've walked into the room or whatever, but they're staring a hole through the back of your head, it's you kind of almost feel it and you turn and look at them what are you staring at? Maybe a little bit like that, but we're there and we're all laughing and everything's good. And then I just felt something in the room. I don't know. It's kind of like if you're standing in a room with other people and an elephant walks in there, but you're the only one that can hear or see it or anything, you're going to know it's something huge or whatever. And you'll be like, what the hell is that? And you turn and look. And that's kind of what it was like for me. I whip around and I'm like, I can feel what this thing in the room. It was bad enough that my wife felt it as well. And then I look at my daughter and she's turned around and she's looking in the corner and smiling and waving at it. And then it literally, it scratched my wife. across her back with three big red scratches through her shirt. She was I felt it and I looked, and my daughter's waving at this thing, and I hear my wife go, "Ow." And I was like, "What's wrong?" She's like, "Something just raked it." She's like, "Oh, like something just raked across my back." And I looked and I was like, "You've been scratched by something." At the time, I took a picture of it, and it was weird. It was obviously not good. And we were like, "We gotta go." We got the hell out of there. We weren't there for one more whole minute.
What, Brian, that's actually pretty sinister when you think about it, because you've got your daughter who's waving at something, which is normally kind of a happy thing, like cute, like, "Hey, something cute." And then at the same time, your wife's getting scratched.
Yeah, yeah. My daughter, our daughter wasn't a year, she might have been a year old, but she wasn't even 2 yet. And
that was the South Pittsburgh Hospital, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know that it's, obviously I don't know if it's something that's following us around, but I'm betting, if I'm being honest about it, I think that was something that made an appearance there because we were there, not something that hangs out at the hospital on a regular basis. I could be wrong, but enough was going on at our house that I don't think it's that far of a stretch to make that assumption. And things, without going real far into it, things between her and I really definitely started to deteriorate. Her actions became different. About everything that could have changed about her has and did. And in real severe negative ways, to a point where maybe close to 2 years ago, we wound up having a conversation. She brought up the fact that she thought she had, it wasn't that she just thought it, and maybe she was making it up, I don't know, but she said she was in jail at the time, and we were talking on the phone. She told me when they brought her in, the day that she got brought into jail, she said that they were having like a church service that day. One of the other inmates looked at her and recoiled from the sight of her. And after the service was over, and a lot of the other inmates were going back to whatever they were doing, like the minister or whatever, and another inmate came up to her and told her that they saw and felt something real dark latched onto her. I'm not trying to blame everything that went bad in our marriage or whatever. I'm not saying it was all, some big nasty thing from, another plane or anything. I'm not saying that at all, but I'll tell you there's been times when, you're with somebody long enough, you can pick up on all kinds of stuff about each other. And we literally went from being able to finish each other's sentences all the time to I would look in her eyes and I couldn't, it just didn't even feel like it was her anymore. Things as far as that relationship, that's pretty much done. It's just me and my daughter and some great friends. Still deal with stuff occasionally, but nothing quite like it was out at that house. And the severity of how that stuff affected my life and my daughter's life and everything else. Thankfully nothing has been really going on like that since we moved back from there. That was some hard stuff to deal with, but my wife's even she's even mentioned that she felt like something has been there to kind of help push her along and not be, the person that I married,
Well, that very well could be. We've actually heard that quite a bit, which is very unfortunate because marriages are hard enough without that aspect of it.
Oh yeah, like you can have you can have a bad time without the help of anything.
Yeah, that's not good. Well, no, I appreciate you sharing that part of it. I know that stuff is pretty tough, so I appreciate that. Did you want to talk about your friends, the practicing witches?
Yeah, I would be happy to talk about her. My friend Katie, she's a witch. Seems to be pretty good at what she does. Kind of helped me learn a little bit of stuff still. She's got this place, and pretty much everybody that's hung out over there enough, I think, has experienced something every now and again over there. Sometimes it's not the most fun thing. I guess it was like a really last week, maybe. I was over there, and I don't remember what we were doing before because it got blown out of the water. But we were talking, and I saw something like run right past your bedroom door. Part of what looked to me like to be a child's legs wearing pants or something. But it was like, that doesn't even make sense. And it was gone. There was like a real, real strong negative feeling that like dropped on both of us at different points within an hour of that. I don't know. That was an odd day.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I mean, is she practicing kind of the darker stuff to where something like that might pop up?
No, she's, I've never known her to really mess with anything dark on purpose. At any rate, any of the stuff that I've ever seen her do is always, I'm nowhere near into it as far as she is by any means, but I've never even heard her talk about doing anything nasty like that. So everything I've ever seen, she's generally doing good stuff, beneficial stuff. It's been an experience. There's not just me and her. We had a couple other friends at the house. We've kind of help push some stuff out of there a couple of times. It's been a learning experience, learning how to deal with some of the stuff as much as I can deal with it. I don't know, like in dealing with it, different, whatever these things were, like, you know, I don't want to say everything that shows up, but it's, everything's a demon, you know, because I don't believe that at all. Like, oh, the toaster broke. It's a demon. No, it's not. It's a broken toaster. And I don't know. I've heard you kind of say that before, that, you know, a lot of people, their first go-to thing, like, oh, the light bulb blew in the hallway. Like, that's something, it's diabolical, or it's just a broken light bulb. But, I mean, it's not, I don't just jump towards that as being the first explanation, you know, for anything.
Well, so what are some of these things that you were helping her deal with?
I would say some of them, just in my personal opinion, I would say some of them were spirits of people, or were spirits of humans, just ghosts. There may have been spirits of other spirits that had never been alive, but I don't know that I would necessarily classify that, all of that, as, you know, like full-fledged demon or anything either. I don't really know what I would call it, but I don't know. That's one of the things that I've learned with my own weirdness over the years is like, because not everything that I've ever felt has been bad. I've had experiences where I felt something in the room with me, then I don't know, just from just like a, I don't know, a feeling or a thought that comes with it, it'll feel very familiar and positive. When in my experience, when I'm dealing with something that's like overwhelmingly nasty or whatever, it's not gonna typically sugarcoat everything in a way that, like, I guess a friend would. You'll get a flash of a feeling and maybe a little bit of a memory that you shared with this person, enough to remind you that physically it's the same feeling you had when you were in the room with this person. You just, it's almost like a little bit of recognition, and like, oh man, like, I, even though it's kind of sad in ways, and if you know them, if that's happened to me one time where it was somebody that I had been friends with, and it was a different experience altogether, but it was kind of nice, if that makes sense. Like, cool, I'm glad I've got, you know, I'm glad my friend's still there.
Well, I would hazard to say it's a whole lot nicer than the serpent face thing and all this other stuff that you've seen, you know, like the essentially the, not technically a hat man. I mean, the man in the corner and then the little girl. Yeah, he had a hat on, but I don't think that was the hat man. I just think that was probably what he wore a lot when he was alive, right? But I could totally see where that would be, even though I haven't had any experiences like that. Of course, you would prefer that over some of this other stuff that you've seen, right? So, let's switch gears, because we've got two more, and they are completely different from what we have been talking about. So let's, you want to hit your UFO sighting up?
Yeah, I do.
All right, let's do that one.
All right. Actually, the same girl from the whole bathtub thing in the apartment, same girl. We were up at her place, and out where she was living, there's like nothing out there. And so, like, you get to Knoxville, Tennessee, Etowah, Tennessee is where she lived. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not, but it's little and there's nothing. There's not hardly, you know, any artificial light once you get away from, like, the, you know, the little area with restaurants and gas stations and stuff like that. It's all like the whole weird county road system where it's, you know, county road 90 or whatever, and unless you're from there and are used to driving them, you have no idea where you are except a field with a road going by it. And she had a little place that was pretty close to her parents' house, like kind of across a field from each other. I'd gone up there, I went up there like every weekend before we wound up moving in together, and I had never really been in a place where on a regular basis I could see all the stars that clear. It was gorgeous. And we kind of got in the habit of, you know, either just sort of like sitting in some chairs in the yard at night and just talking, or we'd sit on the porch and just look at stuff. This night, like, I'd been taking pictures of, like, you know, her and her daughter and everything. And so I had a camera with me, and not that it was going to do me much good in pitch dark or anything, but we were looking just at the sky, and kind of out of all the, you know, out of all the stars, we started seeing these certain like red lights that were, I mean, whatever it was very high up, and it was red and white lights. The way they all looked like they were attached to something much larger, if, you know, if that makes sense. But the way these things were moving in the sky made no sense. Like, if you compared it to, like, you know, a helicopter, which it wasn't, or an airplane, which there's no way it could be either of them, because it was flying or moving rather in almost like a repeated square pattern, and then it would sort of like some of the lights would rotate around the other ones, but would stay kind of stationary to where they would be, if that makes any sense at all, kind of rotating around like more central located lights. We were like, what the hell is that? Because, you know, neither of us could think of anything that should be hot, so high up that you couldn't necessarily hear anything, but what could move that slow at that altitude, and what the hell can fly that slow in that pattern with as big as that thing should have been. Like, it just didn't make any sense. I don't know. Like, my grandfather was a pilot. My uncle was a pilot. You know, I've flown in single engine Cessnas with an instructor before. Like, kind of got a little bit of knowledge as far as just basic aircraft stuff. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And satellites don't look like that, you know, when you see them, because they're not really moving like that. And she was like, see if you can just take a chance and see if you can maybe take a picture of it with your camera. I was like, okay, cool. Why not? Pick my camera up and point it at where this thing was. And the lights were pretty bright. They weren't hard to see at all until I lifted my camera up. And as soon as I lifted my camera up, they all dimmed. And when I would put my camera back down, they would get bright again. And it was moving in sort of a square pattern, but it was coming closer to where we were. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Every time I move the camera up and down, the lights that we're looking at are getting, you know, dim or bright. Well, you know, if I'm pointing the camera at it or not, it's how is this happening, and let's whatever that is know that I'm pointing the camera at it and when I'm not. And I'm used to ghosts and stuff like that. That's one thing that's kind of old hat by now. This was supremely unnerving to me. And both of us got really creeped out at that point. We're like, because literally every time I lifted that camera, these lights would get brighter or dimmer. And I was like, man, this is, and this is nuts. I was like, what do you want to do? She's like, let's go in. I was like, okay, cool. Let's go in and try and be normal. And I don't know, man. It wound up, by the time we got to the front door of her place from like the yard, it was gone. Like, gone.
So it realized also that you had given up on it, that you were done. You guys were going in, so it's like, all right, peace out.
Yeah, I guess. Like, that's the only thing that made any sense to me, because, I mean, this thing was moving slow as hell. And then we're like, okay, we're sufficiently creeped out. Let's call it a night. And then we get up and make it to the door, which, you know, takes maybe 4 seconds, 5 seconds. Yeah. And then we turn and look, and it's
already
gone. The slow moving thing that has been stationary, except for its repeated square patterns, is suddenly moved so fast that you can't even see where it has gone to.
Well, yeah, and at that point, it had already exemplified a sentient something because of the whole camera thing.
I can't think of any other way to explain. How do you explain that unless whatever it is knows that you're looking at it?
Mm-hmm.
Would something get proof that it exists? So
yeah, that's a weird
one. I don't know. I've never experienced anything like that since, or any, like, that's the only UFO thing I've dealt with. And like, I don't know. I'd be okay if I saw maybe another one or something, just because. But like, as long as it's not one of those supremely horrific ones or whatever, like, it was genuinely like unnerving. We were very much like, I don't know that we can sleep tonight, kind of.
Yeah, when something that odd is interacting with you, because it would be odd enough just to see the lights moving that way, but then for them to interact with you with camera and then to leave when you guys were, even before you hit the door and got to the inside the door, that is very strange.
Yeah, I don't know. At that point, I remember saying at some point in time, you know, I've never seen a UFO or anything like that, so, you know, I wouldn't ever tell anyone, you know, like, I don't believe that what you're saying is true because I haven't seen it or anything, just based on my own crap that I've seen. But, you know, I couldn't say myself, like, I believe they exist because I've seen it. And after seeing it, I was like, oh God, like, it's all true.
Oh yeah,
know.
They are out there. It just depends on what level you know, you're at as far as the close encounters of the first, second, third, fourth. Fourth isn't that nice. I don't think I'd want to do a fourth.
It's funny you bring that up, because like, we had, it was around that time we wound up watching that movie, and that was one of those, like, you know, you're sitting there after the movie's over, like, trying to go to bed and like, kind of keep glancing at the window going, please God, don't let an owl be like looking in the window next time I look over there.
Yeah. No, the really crappy thing is you see an owl and someone else sees an alien, then you all know you're screwed, you know. when one person sees one thing and one person sees another. Yeah. All right, now, you know, I'm really looking forward to this one, and it's a creature sighting of some sort. You kind of already labeled it, but I'm gonna let the listeners just kind of listen to it, and then we can talk about it afterward. But yeah, go ahead on that one.
Man, like, this one, I was still in high school, or it was either like my senior year of high school or immediately thereafter. Kind of hard to put a definite time stamp on it, but me and a bunch of friends, we had this house in West Chattanooga, close to downtown, that we would hang out at. The two friends that owned the place that we hung out at, they were cool with all of us idiots coming over, and we'd hang out, drink, whatever. Play, oddly, I don't know if you remember this game, but there was a game that you could play where you put like this cassette in your VCR or whatever, and it was like sort of like a horror board game. I can't remember what this thing was called, but we had been playing it that night, and that's, we were all in the room together. I think there was about five of us. I remember it being warm outside, so the front door was open, but the storm door was closed. We're just hanging out there, kind of dimmed lights and everything, and I'm not sure if I was the first one that saw it, or if somebody, like, if I wasn't the first one that saw it, we both saw this thing at, like, within like a split second of each other. We look over there, and there's this thing looking in. I could see teeth. I could see a hand that had claws on it. I mean, there were ears that were pointy. Brown fur. This thing was like looking in the window or through the storm door, kind of like from the side. And when I saw it, I went, holy shit, you know, and everybody else saw it too. I know I'm a wingnut, but I'm not wingnut enough on that level where I can make other people see exactly what I'm saying, you know. And all of us screamed, and all of us jumped, and this thing just sort of, not really quickly, just sort of like it didn't really give that much of a crap, kind of like, well, kind of like it was more like stupid and like just sort of slowly pulled its head back, and that was it. You know, we kind of looked out the window real quick and saw something on two legs run into the little tree line there. But we're, you know, this isn't the country. This is like through like a little bit of woods that's maybe 40 feet across. That's a parking lot for an apartment complex. And then you've got some more woods that's going up like a hillside that I know there used to be a neighborhood up there, but I'm not sure why it got, I don't know, why no one lived up there anymore. But like, if you go up there, there's like foundations for houses, and there's like, you can see there's an old road that used to be the way you would drive around up there, but it's like part of it's fallen from a landslide, and I can't remember what you would call that neighborhood or what they call it up there. But yeah, man, we probably because I was younger, we were dumb enough to kind of go outside of the apartment that my friends were in after we saw this thing, like within like a few minutes or so. And I mean, we couldn't find any footprints or anything like that, but like, I swear this thing, I don't know that I would necessarily say it's Dog Man, but it's, I wouldn't know what else to call it, because it was not a Sasquatch by any means, but it definitely looked like it was werewolf-ish, if that makes sense at all.
Was like, that the shape of the head, like a dog?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I don't know if you've ever looked at like a dog, like straight forward when they kind of got their mouth open, and maybe like their tongue kind of lolled out a little bit, like when it's hot. But that's kind of what it looked like.
How tall was it?
Hard to say, because like it was, whatever it was bent over somewhat, and you know, thinking like a door, your basic door frame. 6.5-7 feet
But it was definitely running away on two legs.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I was running. More just sort of not overly concerned about anything. But yeah.
That sounds like a dog, man. That they don't give a crap, you know? It's like across the board. They really don't give a shit at all if people see them.
Yeah. I mean, like, it didn't. It was a storm door that wasn't even locked. If it wanted to, it could have come in. And I mean, I don't think any of us could have done anything. More than anything, I guess it was just like, what are these morons doing? And like, looked in, checked us out, said whatever, and just sort of, not necessarily a walk, but kind of, it certainly wasn't running away.
Did you see a tail or the backwards kind of hawks on the legs or anything like that?
Yes, the legs. It was obviously not people legs at all. I didn't see a tail only because it was so dark. But yeah, I mean, and it's, I don't know, man. It, like, I've for years, I wondered what the hell this thing was, and I don't know, probably, I found your show probably at the beginning of August, and quickly got addicted, but that was within the first week of finding the show, I heard about Dogman for the first time, and was like, what the hell's this, and that kind of connected the dots for me on what I thought I was seeing or had seen that night. And it's weird because me and my friend Katie and several other people, we've all got friends in common, and we have other friends that have gone up there into that little area where that neighborhood used to be, which isn't far from that apartment where we saw the thing at all. They went up there, and a friend of mine had just bought a rifle and was just going to pop off around just to do it in the woods. Said they saw, they fired it off, and with a lot of the underbrush and trees at that time of year, I know there was a lot of it. And they said that, because we saw them when they walked up there with a rifle, and then we saw them when they were coming back down the street, out of breath, sweating, with a really, I'm not okay look on their face. We're like, what's wrong? And we're like, dude, we just got chased out of the woods by something that was big and furry. I was like, big and furry? What do you mean? And it's like, dude, it was this big, furry, blackish, brownish thing. And it was big enough that I just wanted to get the hell out of there. The dude that said that, I mean, they were armed. Like, this dude, I've known him for years now, and he's not afraid of anything. He's not a little dude. Not one to really be terrified of anything, but, like, him and this other friend of ours, they were both, like, shaken up. And as soon as they said this big furry thing, I was like, I wonder if that's the same thing that we saw that night. So it made me feel better after seeing them, like, coming out of the woods, saying that they had that experience. I was like, okay, maybe we weren't all having the same hallucination, you know? So.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a hallucination. I mean, dog man at the door is like, that's not cool. But, I mean it is kind of a cool sighting, though.
I don't know. I've started kind of trying to look into it, but, like, I haven't found anything as far as, like, any other sightings around Chattanooga necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if there were, because there's plenty of places around here where you would think you might see one. But I know that they've seen them in Georgia. Like, just random YouTube looking at stuff. Like, I've seen something where people were talking about seeing them in, like, North Georgia, and that's not far away at all from where we are in Chattanooga. So. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, dog man is one of those things where I've said, yeah, it'd be so nice to see, you know, just for confirmation purposes, because dog man is so very strange. Not that Bigfoot's not, but dog man is, like, way stranger to me than Bigfoot. So, but to see something like that, I'm like, well, I'd have to have a group in a tank, you know, or, you know, there's a list of things versus these poor people that are like the hunters, right? They're out hunting, and you normally when you're hunting, you spread out, and you're hunting by yourself, and then by God, you see one of these damn things that are just always pissed off, and I'm going, I don't think so. That might ruin me on the woods, you know, to actually see one and have a confirmation and have it pissed off at you doesn't sound so nice.
I don't know, man. Occasionally I will go, like, on hikes and stuff like that. I've always, as a kid, I liked to play in the woods a lot and everything. And there's been times where, especially after seeing that, I was like, man, I don't know that today.
Yeah, like, it's, no. It would ruin that kind of an experience, you know, depending on how you process something like that. So,
yeah,
you know, and that same goes for Bigfoot. That same thing can go for Bigfoot, because you hear a lot of times of the hunters that hunt their whole lives and they love it and they can't wait to fill their tags and, you know, they plan this out, and then everything gets, look at Cary Arnold, everything gets screwed up because he has this insane Bigfoot encounter, and it's the kind that you don't want. And I would assume that for the most part, it'd be the same for Dogman. So
I'm good if I don't see Bigfoot. Like, I'm okay.
Well, I don't know, Brian. I mean, after this list that we just went through, I'm going to wait for your email when you see a damn Bigfoot now, because you got Dogman, you got UFOs, you got shadow people.
I'll probably go to the gas station later in life.
Right, you're gonna high five one.
End up stealing my car or something.
He's actually the one pumping the gas, and you're like, "Well, okay, time to email Shannon. Mark that off the list. Saw Dogman or saw Bigfoot too." Will you keep me informed if you come across any Dogman stuff in the area? If you happen to, you know, hear another podcast or whatever, and B, and the big one is the whole name for the serpent thing and possibly what's following you around. Also, I want people to reach out to me on that, especially to maybe help tie in some things here with that, right? Because we have, I mean, like John Paul, he's a theologian, he's a master's in theological studies and all this stuff, and people like that who are much brighter than I are listening. And I would love if somebody had any insight on that and give us a vein to look into. So, but if you come across anything, please let me know, Brian. But thank you so much for coming on. You have awesome stories. I loved hearing them, and thanks for taking the time tonight to talk to me.
Oh man, it was awesome. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bark. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you who are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes. Consulting our memories. But then there's a real evil, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. he says, when you settle down in the train, you can read your newspaper and so on, you are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the chain. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.